Hello, you're listening to Ann Mish on Watch Us Go Muskegon. And today I have with us Kirk Holman from the Muskegon Art Museum that we have here
Muskegon
in town.
Museum of
Muskegon
Art.
Museum. Thank you.
The website is MuskegonArtMuseum.org.
Oh, okay.
The
there
name
we go.
Is Muskegon Museum of Art.
All right. So, yeah. All right. I knew I was going to get that wrong no matter what I did. And it's located downtown in the city of Muskegon next to the Hackley Public
Library.
The beautiful building right there. But of course, you have an awesome building too.
Yeah. We're built in 1912 and we're the young kid on the block. We're the youngest building.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
It's just so amazing. But before we get into the museum, I think you've been there a short amount of time.
Well, I've been there 4.5 years.
Okay.
That is a pretty short amount of time, but I was hired as a development person there.
Okay.
4.5 years ago.
But you took a promotion? Is that what it was?
Well, our executive director, Judy, she retired last month, and she announced her retirement in the spring, so
there you go.
Threw my hat in the ring and got lucky.
So something big obviously just changed recently. So now you're the director.
Yeah, I'm the director. Yep, October 27th.
Wow.
I think. Yeah.
So what's the what's the difference now from doing what you were doing to what you're doing now?
It's a transition. I was an executive director of an organization for 20 years before I came here, of an arts organization. So I'm falling back into the executive director mode. It was nice for, 4 years I got to concentrate on nothing but fundraising. But I know Judy used me, because I did have a wider skill set for a lot of things.
Sure.
It is a change. It's finding a different rhythm, I guess.
Okay. All right.
I'm kind of doing two jobs right now until we fill my old role.
Fill that one still.
Yeah, we're going to fill that position sometime here.
That's a tough one because I can tell you fundraising is not easy.
Yeah, it's okay.
We need to talk about that later.
No, it's not bad. I enjoy fundraising, actually.
Really?
That's what I've
really
always done, and it's a great community to do it in.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, tell us what's going on at the art fair or art museum.
Art museum. Right now, I don't know when this is going to air. The date.
It's going to be before the your big event coming up.
I got a little schedule.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's so complicated, but on Wednesday the 22nd we open our Festival of Trees.
Yes,
it's the 13th annual one, and it went on before we took
Love
it. It had the Frohenthal. They're all up there right now, fluffing the trees.
Yeah.
As we call it.
Yeah, they're
closed
beautiful.
On Thanksgiving, but that'll run through December 3rd.
Okay,
and we have different events. You can come to the website. We have our Teddy Bear Breakfast thing, which is hugely popular.
Yes, it is.
I don't know if it's sold out,
but
it could be.
Yep.
A senior day, lots of events, tons of performers. It's a fun time. It really drives a lot of people.
So the Festival of Trees, can you tell us a little bit about that? What is that?
Well, we have two giant galleries. The Walker galleries, we call them. We empty them out and basically fill it full of Christmas trees, decor items. Local corporations and individuals sponsor trees.
Uh-huh.
And they're decorated by area designers, and you can bid on the trees, so we'll deliver when it's all over. That's why everybody said, why are you doing this thing in mid-November? Mainly because we're selling the trees and they're auction items.
Well,
so
sure.
Visitors can we'll deliver them to your house if you win the auction.
Nice.
And it's kind of hard.
Still
to
with
do
the decorations
that
on there? Christmas.
All the decorations, yes. Totally shrink wrapped. We have a crew that'll come and set them up.
Wow.
So you can bid on them. We have a lot of decor items you can bid on, which you can actually take at the end of the festival.
And you pay a fee, an entrance fee to go.
Yeah, it's just a regular normal museum admittance fee.
So how much is that?
Yeah, $10.
For people to know. Yeah. Okay. All right. $10. You can view all of these beautiful trees that are out there, and then you have the opportunity to even bid on them.
Oh yeah. And we have some free time. We have a family day with some discounted rates. Members a little bit of a discount.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So lots of opportunities
Then
you have we were just talked about a little bit, the teddy bear. I know we got lots of families listening right now who may never have heard of this event. I think this one is a blast.
It's great. It's a breakfast. The kids bring their teddy bears. They go for a teddy bear checkup. There's arts and crafts.
A checkup?
They sit down.
Wait,
yeah,
a checkup? What is this?
We have certified teddy bear nurses there that sit there, and they do blood pressure and all that stuff, and and then they get a report card and a thing for it. And it's pretty cool.
I love it.
And it's one of our most popular events. Uh-huh. We always sell it out.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if there's tickets left, so
right,
you can call and find out and run down there. But we do several seatings throughout the morning, and the breakfast is great.
Right.
But it's insanely busy that morning.
So if it is even sells out this year, then obviously we want people to know about it so you can book early next year.
You got to do it early. Yeah, and most people know the rhythm of that. They know they got to get in early.
Yeah. And then you said there's a breakfast too?
There's a breakfast for the kids and family. Okay. Part of the Teddy Bear Breakfast, which it's catered by a pretty nice outfit. I mean, it's a real, real good breakfast.
It's
not just something we're tossing off.
So how do you know this?
How do I know this?
Yeah. Are you eating the breakfast yourself?
Yeah, I have a 10-year-old.
I was going to say, there might be.
He's been coming for three, 4 years. So
you have the child involved,
yeah,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So if my child is like 28, that means...
Come on, they can have breakfast.
We won't stand out at all, right, amongst these little ones.
My 20-year-old was going up 2 years ago, so it's not a big deal.
Oh, now I feel better. Yeah, okay, all right, good. So what else is going on?
After the Festival of Trees, we have two major exhibitions opening on December 14th. One is Winfred Rembert. We bought one of his pieces of art, I'm saying maybe 4 years ago.
Okay.
It's a real interesting guy. He's a civil rights leader. He was arrested down, I think, in Mississippi in the 60s during a protest, spent many years in jail. And in jail, he learned to tool leather and paint from another inmate. And when he got out, I mean, it's really amazing stuff. You can just Google Winfred Rembert online and see the stuff he does. Flint Institute of Art has some stuff of his right now. I'd say he's probably in his mid-70s now. He lives in Connecticut. But he spent a lot of time on a chain gang and in the South, wrongly convicted, all the stuff. He was running from a lynching, and he stole a police car and was arrested for that.
Okay.
I think he's one of maybe two or three people in the United States who actually survived a lynching that's alive today. And we brought him here for a program 2 years ago, and it was pretty stunning. In our auditorium, he visited the school, so we're going to try to bring him back this year.
Wow.
It's health issues right now may prevent that, but we planned for him, I think, in February. But his art is fantastic. He does these large tool leather pieces from experiences from his life, and you can't describe them. You have to see them.
Okay.
But we are doing our big Walker gallery, turning that all over to his artwork, which we're borrowing from a gallery on the West Coast and from his family.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be opening December 14th and run through, I think, March. And we got some programming coming up with that, some school
stuff. It's so inspiring. I love that.
And we're doing another community on MLK Day, a free community day, and everybody can come and see his stuff. And that's hugely attended.
On Martin Luther King Day.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So that's be the third year we've done that. But we're excited about this.
That's huge.
Yeah. It is big, and we were maybe looking at maybe packaging this exhibition and touring a little bit so he can sell paintings.
Wow!
But it's great. It's not. I mean, it is painting, but it's tooled leather, and so it's not. He's not working.
I need
on
to
canvas.
See it because it's so hard.
Yeah,
to imagine.
Yeah, we have a piece up now in our permanent collection in our Cannon Gallery. And, he carves it out, so it's kind of embossed, then he paints. And he didn't do it for a while, and then I think probably in the early 80s, his wife encouraged him to get into it again. So he's done very well that way.
That's awesome.
Well. So and then we have another exhibition opening on the same day called Vegetable Lamb of America. It's a sculpture exhibition
of
an artist, Sarah Wagner in Detroit, who does these cloth and wire sculptures, and this is a whole, and so there's kind of like a common theme of cotton running through these exhibitions because it's a play on the notion in Europe when they thought cotton grew on trees,
instead of
sheep. So that's what that's all about. So that's a little bit of our highbrow thing, but the Rembert is very accessible.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So that's going to take us through the winter. I mean, we'll have our postcard salon and stuff in the spring,
What is that?
Yeah. Boy, I don't have that in front of me. I'm saying February, but again, check our website. There's so many moving parts at the museum.
What is the postcard salon?
It's great. It's anybody can enter. We take one gallery. You make a piece of artwork the size of a postcard.
Okay.
Just submit it. We hang it. And I think you put a $30 price tag on it. We split it with you. We have an exhibition for a couple of weeks. People can come, and we have this big postcard salon where everybody rushes in. We have food, and they can pick original little piece of art off the wall. Some are like major area artists. Some are kids. Anybody can do that and submit a few cards. It's a neat.
So you could actually have your child make one and then
have
it hung there.
We have
a
lot of kids making cards.
Oh, or adults, or like you said, some of these that are.
As long as they can fit it on a postcard and we can hang it. It can be sculpture. It can be anything. It could be glass. I mean, people get pretty creative. It's a fun little event.
That's awesome. Yeah. I've never heard of that, but that's new for me. So, and then you said you have like snacks and hors d'oeuvres and all that.
A regular opening.
Well, of course. You got to have food, right? Yeah. What is an opening without food in Muskegon?
Absolutely.
So you wrapped up an event that was incredibly popular.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a little bit about that one?
Are you talking about the Edward Curtis
North American Indian?
We
got
ran
a lot
that
of
for
attention.
The summer. That was something we worked on for 3 years, and we had a lot of high expectations, and luckily it met them. First time we tried a national marketing campaign.
Wow.
It worked. We had 30,000 people over the summer from all 50 states.
Amazing.
28 countries. Every continent except Antarctica. It was great.
Gives me chills.
It provided a really good model for us going forward because we want to continue to do big things in the summer.
Right. Can you tell people what that exhibit was about?
It was about a photographer 100 years ago or more called Edward Curtis. He was a Seattle photographer. At the time, he was one of the we call him the Annie Leibovitz of his day. He was a celebrity photographer. He was very well known. If you were anybody in society, you had to get your picture taken by Edward Curtis. And one day he was walking around his studio in by Puget Sound there in downtown Seattle, and there was a woman who lived in a shack by where they threw their trash by Puget Sound. Her name was Princess Angeline. And she was the last Indian woman of her people in Seattle. She refused to leave. And so he coaxed her up to his studio, paid her $1 to take her picture. And that kind of started this obsession of a vanishing race.
Wow.
And for the next 30 years, he tried to document through photography, through ethnography, through recording every native tribe west of the Mississippi. And he documented about 80 tribes, and he produced this massive amount of work, 20-volume set of ethnography. And each one came with a portfolio of pictures, which were pretty big pictures of, they were called photogravures, a really neat process of printing of Indian portraits and scenes. And we showed for the first time all 723 of the photogravures, and it was a huge success. We partnered with a lot of people in the community, Little River Band of Ottawa Indians. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was great. I mean, it's a model we want to keep going with.
Is there any plans to bring it back sometime in the future?
Yep.
Oh.
We're not bringing it back. We own it. And that's part of the great story about it. Heckley Library had a librarian, Lulu Miller, I don't know when she started, but she was there from the 19-aughts through the early 1920s.
Mm-hmm.
And she bought a subscription to that work from Edward Curtis. And that, down the line, was transferred to the Muskegon Museum of Art.
Mm-hmm.
And we are in possession of a copy, along with the King of England, the Smithsonian, Library of Congress, Theodore Roosevelt, J.P. Morgan, and Muskegon, Michigan had a copy. They made a very limited number of sets.
Okay.
So it's still in our vault.
Okay.
Just unframed it. And next summer, we are going to do a little bit of an encore. Instead of 723 works, we're going to do just 150 of the masterworks in honor of Curtis's 150th birthday.
So how did the idea come around then, if you had this in the vault, to bring that out and share it with the people?
It's been, we had board member, our director, Judy, she wanted to do this for a number of years.
Yep.
It was about timing. It was about having, it was not a cheap endeavor. I think because we own it, it would have been cheap. But to mat it and the frames alone cost like $40,000. And then we wanted to do it right. So we had to raise a lot of money beforehand. To do the
and you were the
campaign.
Fundraising guy.
Well, our board is great. The board is a fundraising board, and I can't claim all the credit right. there by far.
Right.
But yeah, we had to raise a lot of money to even get sure. that off, over $300,000 just wow. to execute the exhibition. And it was a success. It did what we wanted it to do.
Incredible.
And it really... Yeah, we're a little bit more vibrant because
you were already
that.
On the map, but this really put a shining star
it
on
did.
You.
It did. It really did. Uh-huh. So we hope to repeat that success with other summer events.
So how do you come up with new ideas? What hits you of like, what do I want to put out there next? There must be this magical list.
Yeah,
out there.
we have yeah. a few things on the burner. Uh-huh. And we have a curatorial staff, and they come up with many of the exhibition ideas, but. I mean, I've come up with ideas, you know, our curator of education, everybody can come up with
sure,
an idea, and
sure.
if it's got legs, we will run with it. The board can come up with ideas, so it's a pretty eclectic planning process.
So it is. It's got to be a huge planning process. That's you
it's
know,
over 2 years out. I mean, we have everything scheduled.
To do that. I know the rocks that were up in the, I don't know, yeah. if, and it's so funny because I don't know that even to this day that everybody understood what that was
yeah,
or
that just
kind of scared a few people. They were up there. They were awesome. We loved them.
Yeah, that's a, I think it's a, it's, I think Andy Moreland's the artist. He's a, I think he's from the East Coast, but mm-hmm. he was the same guy with him and his wife did those, birds
the birds
put,
yes that were out there
and
yes.
then he came on and said, hey, I got this other idea, so we went, okay, go for it. You know, so they were supposed to come down last spring, but we paid a little more money and we had them up
and
there
we kept
year.
Them a little bit longer yes and we got them in Hackley Park
yeah that's it they're yep. in Hackley Park. We got one out in front of the museum, but
okay.
I think they'll be coming down probably in March.
Okay, all right. So when people show up to the lighting of the trees and yep. all of that, they
will be up there.
Yeah, they'll see
that. Like Frank Peters saying, hey, we want to put rocks in the trees. Great idea, put them up there.
You know that he will go for it. City manager, everybody, Frank yeah. Peterson, all you have to yep. do is make a phone call to him, and he's like, let's
yeah,
do it.
The man who can't say no.
Oh, so, you've nailed so, that one, haven't you?
Yeah. So that's fun. You know, in fact, we were going to come down. He wanted them up another year.
And he wanted
so
to keep
like,
them.
Yeah. That works for us.
Yeah, yeah. So he figured out a way that would be him. Yes, yes. So now going ahead, is there plans ever to expand the museum? Or?
It's in the back of our head. Mm-hmm. I mean, someday we're going to need an expansion.
Right.
I mean, what we're concentrating on now is getting more people in the door, bringing the MMA out into the community. I mean, mm-hmm. we want to be bursting at the seams, and you have to do that before you can justify an expansion.
Yes.
I mean, we need things. We need better classroom space, you know, and yes. need better office. We need storage. We have immediate needs, but we want it to be all Curtis all the time as far as crowd expectations
right.
there. And one thing we really do well is programming and getting out into the community and responding to our local audiences and different groups. So
absolutely.
We're just going to keep going with that and keep building stuff. I mean, there's a lot of momentum going. Judy left it in an amazing position when she left.
Now you have this a big fundraiser every year.
Mm-hmm.
Is
several.
I know. So well, actually, why don't you go ahead and tell us about some of those that you have?
Oh well,
that people
the Festival of Trees is a big fundraiser every
huge.
Year. We have a little fundraiser that's called On Tap. It's a craft beer event, and it's not really that one doesn't make a whole bunch of money, but it brings a new audience.
People
in.
Love it.
Yeah, it brings a new audience. People who are marginal. But I've never seen this place before,
yeah.
and that's what we like to do.
They were following the beer, and it took them to the museum.
Yep.
That's what happened. But that's
follow
okay.
The beer.
That's
yeah.
how you get them in. That's all right.
And we do a large gala every year, and people
yes.
might notice those giant white tents in the parking
those,
lot.
That's the big one. That's the big one that I'm aware of, and I think you have it usually themed.
Yep, it's themed, usually connected to an exhibition.
Uh-huh.
Last year we kind of connected it to Curtis.
Yep.
And we're still, we don't know this year.
What it will
we'll
be?
We'll get the committee together in a couple of months, and they'll come up with it.
Yeah.
Theme,
but... What did you dress up as this year?
Oh, it's not a dress up.
It's
game.
Not
it's
a dress
always,
up.
It's a black
a,
tie.
Just
option,
a, okay.
Sort of thing.
So,
we don't, the theme is more color scheme
okay.
For the women's dresses and stuff. And
oh.
And that's what they want to know. What's the color theme going to be?
The women want to know that.
Yeah. The guys just put on a tie and a jacket.
You have it so easy.
Yeah.
The rest of us have to stress out about it all year long.
It's
to
a lumber baron's ball that you got to put the,
Is that the one? Okay.
Yeah, that's the theme.
I knew there was one, there was a theme on it where you dress all up and mm-hmm. that. So, okay, so when is the...
The gala will be in June. I'm not sure, early date in June.
Okay.
Saturday, maybe the 6th, I know.
Okay.
But it sold out last year. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun, a lot of work. But,
right.
you know, you got to have your fundraisers.
That's right. Yeah. You have to do that for, you know, an institution such as yourself. You know, I mean, it's just an incredible, and you have all kinds of support from the community.
Yeah, it's we have to go out and get and ask for probably $600,000 to $700,000 a year, and that's going asking for people to keep our operations going where we want them to. I mean, we could very much, you know, pull back and just have pictures on the wall, but we want to have a lot of community program. We want to do relevant things.
Absolutely.
So it's a very generous community. I've fundraised in a few places in my life that weren't not even in Michigan, and I can tell you this is one of the most generous the most generous community I've ever come across.
We love our Muskegonites here.
There's a different culture in West Michigan about giving than most places, and that's true. That's really true.
Now, does the museum have anything to do with the statues that are outside in different various places, or do they have input on that?
No, we don't really have any. You mean like around downtown and stuff? Well, we got input on it. I mean, we sit on a you know, the Downtown Arts Committee Council, and that kind of thing, and we have input on it, but we don't really actually. You know, that's not part of our collection.
Okay, you know? But you actually, you know, participate.
Oh, yeah.
And so any kind of arts
program
or anything like that. Now, so since you just now took on, and I'm putting you on the spot here, but now that you just took on this position and that, do you have ideas of changes that you want to make?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like I said earlier, I mean, what we're really focusing on right now, we're going to, you know, we want to fill the place up. We're going to become even more relevant in the community. We want to bring the MMA out into the community a little more than we have instead of staying behind, you know, our walls.
Right.
But that's got to be the main driver right now is
getting out there.
Being relevant, having people, you know. It's always kind of hard to fight the stuffy art museum thing because the collection is on par with any major city. It's it's amazing stuff. And the trick is to make it accessible to everyone.
Right.
And make them realize, you know, just because we have high, quote, highbrow artwork, it's very accessible to anyone in the community. Kathy Mott, who's our curator of education, working with the schools and different community groups, does a great job at that, especially the educational side of it. So we have a lot of room to become a lot more vibrant, I think.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, if people are interested, can they rent to have like an event there?
Generally, I mean, weddings, that sort of thing, we don't do. If you're, we have corporate members can event for a corporate thing, but we're not really a rental facility.
Okay.
We will do fundraising events there occasionally for people. But generally, it's, I mean, we don't really have the capacity.
Right.
Because there's a lot of, you know, artwork in
there. Sure, yeah. You want to be very cautious. Probably usually, walking around with, you know, beverages is not the best
and,
situation.
And, you know, corporate sponsors can, if they're sponsoring an exhibition, they can use, do like, you know, some Shape Corporation did a retirement party in there the other day. And they're pretty low-key, not a lot of people events like that. Or maybe a customer appreciation night they'll do, you know, for clients or something like that. But generally, it's not a rental facility.
Okay,
I mean, and we have an auditorium, too, that's, you know, I think the Irish American Society rented it the other night to do some programming in that in it. But
and that's a nice facility
it's
right
really
there.
Nice
I've been
venue.
To that. I like that a lot. And then you have a great gift shop too that people can come in and shop and browse around and
And we're trying. That's another thing we're trying to do: get that a little more visible because we have a really nice downtown unique store in the middle of downtown Muskegon, and it's it's kind of hidden.
And people don't know you're there.
People don't know we're there, so we're trying to get that out a little more, doing some better with the signage. We're actually, and we've never really thrown a lot of marketing dollars at the store, and we're actually trying to do that a little more. And,
right.
You know, it's usually museum-oriented things, and but it's they do a very nice job with it. It's very cool.
And we should try to collaborate on some of that because I know that we are working really hard at, too, at getting the retail information out for downtown as it grows. You know, we want to get that. And so I think we need to piece that in there people know that that's there.
Absolutely. And we'll be looking at rebranding and that, you know, instead of museum gift shop, you know.
Yeah, it's going to have a different name to
it. So that's all being looked at.
Because there's beautiful jewelry in there when I've been in there.
Stuff,
there's like, it's not necessarily yeah, museum.
There's clothing in there now, yeah. But it's great when you work there and you need a quick gift.
I bet it is, yeah. Oh, they just do a wonderful job there.
Have a lot of artists consigning stuff in there, so there's a lot of West Michigan artists who just make stuff.
And, we have questions about that, too. Yeah. How can I, where can I go buy this, especially in the wintertime when they don't necessarily have the outdoor space that they're using, maybe they're at the market normally or something, but winter comes along.
Yeah.
So this is a perfect place for people to know about it and be able to get in there. And
yeah, we've done a lot of marketing on the holiday push for the gift shop, too.
And we've
not really done that before. So
trying something new. And that's, we like that. We like to keep rebranding ourselves and changing and finding what works and and it sounds like you have so many exciting and fun things going on.
Yeah, it is. It's a great place to be. It's a great place to
work. What made you decide to come to Muskegon?
Well, I grew up here.
Oh.
I grew up in Muskegon.
I always have to ask this. Okay. Everybody knows. So what school did you go to?
Muskegon.
You're a Big Red?
Yeah.
All
right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Everybody knows. Big Red is that's our thing. That's I just like all my Big Reds let us know. Yep. So love having the Big Reds here.
Yep.
Tigers are great too, but So I'm so excited to have a fellow Big Red.
All right.
So and then you moved away.
Yeah, moved away in the 80s. Never ever thought I would be coming back to I thought maybe I'd retire, come back to West Michigan. Never thought of Muskegon. And I was sitting at a job in, 2013, sitting in my office, minding my own business and stuff, and it was just a fluke, and they had a position here in Muskegon, and I said to my wife, what do you think about, you're not serious about applying to that job, and I said, and I just sent the resume in. The next day, I got a phone call, and 4 months later, I was moving back to Muskegon.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's weird. And I'm glad I did, because... this is really something. This is the time to be here.
Isn't it fun?
Yeah, it is.
All of the exciting stuff happening downtown right now, and you're right in the midst of it, so you get to see it on a daily basis.
And for decades, my brain was around the old Muskegon, and we never
unfortunately,
really
there's a lot of that.
Yeah, and I talk about this with all the other Muskegon expats that I know around the country.
Sure.
But, you leave thinking, well, that town's really never going to gain much traction. You start missing the lakeshore.
Yes.
But then you visit and you're like, but it's red hot now.
Oh.
And I'm trying to explain that to other people around the country who are of my age and have moved away. It's fun.
And that they haven't been back for a while to see what is happening.
And another neat thing about it is we lived by Purdue University for a long time. So all our friends are Purdue professors. And they're from all over the country because you kind of gravitate towards the job. And so they come up to visit, and it's great to, they say, this is just smoking here, And the best quote was a friend of mine who grew up in New York City, and we're walking around. He's looking at Gary Post's Heritage Square.
Yes.
And
stuff.
He said, this looks like a Monopoly game that's half finished. But he says, but you own Boardwalk and Park Place.
That's right. Getting in on the ground floor.
It's a real exciting time to come back. I thought I was rolling the dice a little bit when I did. I left a job I was at for 20 years, and I'm so glad I did.
Kind of hard to do. Yep. And now you see bulldozers everywhere.
Oh, my gosh. It's great.
All for good reasons, though. I mean, all of the stuff that's coming in and the backhoes and everything.
It's phenomenal.
All the homes that are being built down there. And then all of them... The fact that they're all going to come with retail, the breweries down there, you probably never go to those, right?
No, never.
No, me either. I'm never there. And then we have the distillery. Now we've been able to join that one. Of course, we've got our restaurants, our local restaurants, which we love and adore down there.
Yep.
You can't ever get enough of all of that. And then, of course, don't forget the beautiful Frauenthal.
Oh, yeah.
You know, absolutely
amazing.
Love that. Yep. Like you talked about the Hackley Public Library and all, but... we have all of the traditional, but then we've got all this new coming in. It's just so exciting.
And, like I say, as a fundraiser, you're the phone in the office that never rings. All your calls are going the other way.
Yes.
And it's happened a couple of times where Grand Rapids companies with no foothold in Muskegon have called me saying, I know your board's the kind of place to be. We know something's going on in Muskegon. How do we get involved over there? Because they want some kind of presence. And that never happens.
No.
And it's great for the museum, but I think that says a lot more about what's happening in Muskegon.
It really does. Mm-hmm. It says a lot about us and what we're, it's just, it's such an exciting time, mm-hmm. and I'm so excited other people are seeing it, and you see it from different eyes.
Oh yeah,
you know, from somebody who's never left, this mm-hmm. is this is it, you know, to somebody who's left and then come back and then mm-hmm. go, wow, this is
this is the summer I think it happened.
So. That you really could mm-hmm. see the difference, and and we got I'm speechless. Can you tell? That's how much I just love Muskegon. I'm so excited. Great. So I want to thank you so much for being here telling everybody about what's going on at the museum.
Well, thanks for having us.
We're thrilled. We love the museum and all the exciting things that are coming, you know, from the Christmas trees mm-hmm. to the teddy bears, to the events that you've got coming in the future. You know, all of it is just such good and exciting stuff for us.
Well, we're excited.
Thank you for being downtown and having faith in us.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Until next time.